3-5-0-5-4. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes, saying thank you for being with me here on The Flatline.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054. Or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.
Hi, I'm Rich Novelli, president of Wellgate Sports Club.
And I'm Allie Evers, the proud owner of Boheme Spa.
At Wellgate, we're dedicated to building a club focused on improving the quality of your life, which is why we are so excited to introduce our new partner, Boheme Spa.
Thank you, Rich. Both Boheme Spa and Wellgate Sports Club share the same business philosophy and commitment to mind, body, and health. Conveniently located inside the Wellgate Sports Club, Boheme Spa is Reading's premier Aveda Concept Spa, featuring the complete line of Aveda products and Aveda signature services.
Wellgate Sports Club, in partnership with Boheme Spa, is proud to announce a groundbreaking new membership category called Rejuvenate. In addition to a standard premium access membership, Rejuvenate members receive 2 spa treatments per month from Boheme Spa for the term of the membership.
Reward yourself for your hard work and effort at the club with relaxing and restorative treatment.
Call 768-1205 today. Wellgate Sports Club, where you'll experience exceptional every day.
It's Romance on the River with Lady Bot and the Bluebirds, February 4th in Elements Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino from 7 to 9 p.m. Join me, Linda Bot, as I sing my favorite jazz standards along with Cleveland Bonet on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Verimontis on drums, and my special guest, Lou White. That's February 4th in Elements Lounge. 243-3377 for reservations. It's going to be a great night. Wind River Resort and Casino.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, State of Jefferson, and we are here on a cold, clear, crisp winter morning here in Northern California, soon to be State of Jefferson, and we are enjoying it. We've been inundated with that rain and snow that we have needed so, so badly, but it's nice to get a little break and give the winter garden a little sunlight and watch the sprouts start to really get going, and we're liking it here this morning, and I guess we got a little bit of clear weather here for a bit before it kicks off again. You know, I know some of our fellow compatriots down in Central Jefferson have been hit kind of hard, tornado warnings, freak hailstorms, all kinds of weird stuff going on. But we do have a break in it today, so I hope everybody, you know, gets out and enjoys it, of course, after you're done listening to us and Sovereign Minds in the next couple of hours. But after that, I hope you're out enjoying the day. And I'm here with my fellow friend and Jefferson supporter, Wynn Carpenter. Morning, Wynn.
Good morning.
How goes it this morning?
So far, so good.
Yeah, we're liking it today, I think.
Yes.
So, State of Jefferson, and what is going on with it? Well, we continue to roll on down the road. Things continue to build. Donations are coming in for the potential court case. I know there's been some good discussion with some of our lawyers, things that have been looked at that are very exciting and carry a very good potential for us, especially along the lines of looking at voter dilution in the state, which is endemic, which is a very serious problem, and some of the things that are going on. Eagerly anticipating a couple of Supreme Court cases actually directly tied to Reynolds versus Sims and the representation that we're discussing. We're eagerly waiting those decisions anytime coming February, and those are regarding whether one of them is whether illegal aliens should be counted when counting the population of a voting district, which is actually what we do here in California. Now, we actually count the illegal alien population as part of the population when considering voting districts. Now, running the numbers, what that allows the Southern Californians to do is actually take an extra 15% off the top of our representation, which is already diluted and unconstitutional to begin with. So, remember, a 15% swing, if that 15% was to come back our way, justly, that would actually be a 30% change in the makeup of our state legislature and representation. There are millions of illegal aliens that are being counted for representation in the state of California that is allowing them to take more representatives and more senators away from the northern part of the state on top of the Reynolds versus Sim model that hamstrung us in the first place. So we're eagerly awaiting that decision and, you know, take this opportunity to remind everybody that all of our state senators unanimously wrote a resolution to the United States Supreme Court asking them to continue that model and to support it. That includes your state senators up here. You know, Ted Gaines was one of the people that said, yes, I actually support representing illegal aliens over my own constituents that voted for me. So we're looking at that. We're waiting on that decision. The other one is arguments exactly over the constitutionality of how those district lines are considered, who gets to draw those lines, why are they disproportionate here and not disproportionate there. And really the entire Reynolds versus Sims premise is being revisited as it really needs to be. So, and it just seems to be providence that it's occurring at the time that the state of Jefferson is making its push for statehood. So we're looking at those things. The court cases are continuing to build. You know, as Wynn can speak to, the signature gathering continues to go on.
Yep. Yes, we are. We're making that happen everywhere, specifically Shasta County.
Mm-hmm.
We are continuing to collect signatures. It only makes more of an emphasis on our case. And at some point, those will probably be requested by the court system.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be able to provide those. And the more we have, the better we stand and see, look in the eyes of the law. So,
well, that was one question that I heard come up is, well, if you have the number of signatures that you need already, why are you continuing to collect them? And as you said, it just strengthens the case
mm-hmm.
even more. It's like, okay, I have enough food to eat for the week, so you're not going to put an extra day's worth of food in the cabinet?
Yeah.
You know, it's...
That rainy day fund.
That rainy day fund. You know, and one of the other things that has been brought up is that these petitions are not certified or they're not adjudicated by the state or the county or confirmed by a government entity of any form.
No, they are confirmed by the people.
That is a concept, isn't
yeah.
it? You know, it may cause a problem because it does say in the Constitution that the people have a right to redress grievances to their government as long as those grievances are certified by the government, right?
How does that work?
Is that what it says? I don't think that's what it says.
I don't think so.
I think it says that we have a right to redress grievances.
Period.
Period.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've heard the term extra legal coming from Keep It California and the people that detract from the state of Jefferson saying, no, well, these are extra legal.
Does that mean they're super legal?
Yeah, what does extra legal mean? I'm not
legal times two?
Your petition for redress of grievance isn't valid because we, the people you're aggrieved against, don't agree with you.
Hmm?
Yeah, it doesn't say that either. So I think that's an important clarity for people to understand is the model that we're following is the constitutional model.
Yep.
And that constitutionally the petitions to redress grievance are absolutely valid in a court of law.
Yes.
So it's important to understand that dynamic. I know one of the things that we wanted to talk about today is some of the issues that are coming for the state of Jefferson and why what we're doing is so critical to avoid other things, such as the confrontation that occurred in eastern Oregon.
Right.
Essentially, the confrontation in eastern Oregon was over the abuse of rights by the federal government, by overreach of their authority on federal lands against persecution of private landowners, a lot of things that we're facing here in the North State, and their arguments, their complaints, their long train of abuses is extremely similar to us and what we have suffered under here. Their economies are crashed. Their resources are being destroyed under government management. The misuse of funds, the misuse of power, a lot of that is coming to the state of Jefferson and coming to a head in several locations in the state of Jefferson. And our manner of doing it is seeking peaceful resolution, is seeking lawful resolution, is seeking lawful representation so that we can have that discourse with the government to avoid issues like this.
Right, absolutely.
So, you know, that's something that's very important too, because under our current model, we cannot resist what is happening to us no matter what harm comes to us. There is no true voice. And we do have a couple of representatives that are working very hard for their constituents, but they're outmanned, they're outgunned, they're outnumbered, then they realistically don't have a snowball's chance in hell of accomplishing anything to help us.
It's almost as if their energy is just totally being wasted. And all their peers, if you will, don't care, don't give a damn, what have you. And, you know, our representatives are trying to represent us, but they can't. It is truly a losing battle.
Well, that's as an example, our representative Brian Daly. Mm-hmm. Very early on in his tenure, he went very hard to reach out across the aisle to fellow representatives and fellow senators in the legislature, and I compliment him for that effort, for that forethought, to bring those people here and show them the problems that we have. To show them the poverty that we're suffering, to show them the closed mills, to show them our way of life. And I think it speaks a little bit to Brian Daly's character for him to have the mindset that if I simply show these people the problem, then they will help us because they will understand.
Right.
You know, to Brian Daly and his original mindset is that these are good people. You know, once they see the plight of the people, they would certainly stand up to help. Unfortunately, not one thing has changed.
Nope.
Because of that.
They just got a free trip.
They got a free trip. And I compliment Brian for reaching out like that. I compliment him for having the good character to assume that people should do the right thing because it's the right thing to do. But unfortunately, that has failed.
Well, and he's had to learn the hard way. Unfortunately, you know, going in and, you know, being a junior, going in there, trying to make sure things are going to work the right way and appealing to them, saying, you know, hey, if you just see it, you'll understand. And he had to learn the hard way. And we all have to in different facets, and that's unfortunately what had to happen for him. And now that he has, hopefully he's learning that those of us that are his constituents will support him no matter what he does. If he does the right, you know, goes the right direction, he will have our support.
Absolutely.
And we've told him that over and over. So
he will have the loyalty and the gratitude of his constituents because
that's why it's so important we all make it known to his office.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And it's, you know, we're not asking him to do the easy thing.
No, we're not.
We understand that we're asking him to do the exceptionally hard thing, to, you know, take this on and to champion this and to fight it and get a lot of resistance.
And make his mark in history.
Yeah. And he will receive resistance from the government that he is trying to work with. He will receive resistance from his own party.
Yep.
But he will not receive resistance from the people that elect him.
That's correct.
Come voting day.
Yep.
And that's, you know, important to understand. And, you know, I think Brian entered into that because that's the kind of people he's used to, being a fellow Jeffersonian, living or surrounded by Jeffersonians. He's used to the kind of people that when you go to someone and you show them a problem, we are the kind of people that stand up and take account of our neighbors and get her done and help each other out.
Yep.
And I think that was the attitude that he approached the state legislature with, expecting a certain reciprocity from that.
Yep.
And it wasn't found. Nothing has changed. Nothing has altered. That attempt has failed. And it is unfortunate, but that is the supreme juxtaposition of our case and our argument is it does not matter. They are uncaring. They are unrepresentative. They do not meet our needs or our interests. Some of them are blatantly condescending. about our needs.
Yes.
You know, take Willie Brown, for example, back when he
Please
said...
Please take Willie Brown.
keep him. You know, back when early on in the movement, he said, those people up there in Northern California need to learn to obey.
Yes, we do.
Oh, you want to talk about the hair on the back of my neck going up instantly.
We shall not obey.
That's the kind of attitude that we are dealing with. You know, and it's just... We got to keep trucking away, and it's vital what we're doing. So with that, we probably better look at getting off to our first break, and wanted to discuss some of the things in California and the land issues that we have with the state and federal government, and the things that we can do even prior to becoming the state of Jefferson as Jeffersonians and as the Jefferson movement to push back on this.
Right.
So we'll get into that on the other side of the hour, or the other side of the break.
The government is going to take care of you.
Do you believe the government is telling you the truth?
Do you believe mainstream media is telling you the truth?
Do you believe unemployment has gone down?
Do you think that printing money out of thin air and charging interest on it is constitutional?
Do you think it's right to enslave the next generation with debt?
Do you believe that we are following the Constitution as intended by our founders?
Are you self-reliant?
Are you ready for the economic collapse that is coming? Do you want the truth?
Sovereign Minds Radio moves to a new time, 9 to 11 a.m. Sundays. Sovereign Minds Radio, the place to get your news before the revolution starts.
Kyle DeFore from Mighty Fine Foods in Bella Vista here. We'd like to thank our local community for making 2015 our best year yet. Your continued patronage supports 20 local jobs, and when you shop at Mighty Fine, your money stays in your community the way it should be. Daily deli specials under $5, a different hot soup served daily, groceries, meat, produce, and over 1,000 cold drinks. Mighty Fine Foods is your locally owned and operated neighborhood grocer. Mighty Fine, $2.99 in Deschutes in beautiful Bella Vista.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Join us for Turtle Bay's most delicious event ever, Chocolate After Dark. On February 4th, you'll enjoy an evening of unique chocolate delicacies, distinctive wine and beverage tastings, and an exclusive preview of our newest exhibition, Peanuts Naturally. At just $35 per person with limited tickets available, this fabulous event is sure to sell out. So don't wait. Get your tickets today. This is a 21 and over event only. Buy your tickets at Turtle Bay or at turtlebay.org now. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Did you know that California was never supposed to be just one state? Before the state was formed in 1850, there was discussion of forming three states instead of one. California has an area larger than seven East Coast states combined, and it takes 14 hours to drive from one end of the state to the other. California is simply too large to govern. Rural communities are being outvoted by more densely populated areas. The state of Jefferson is the solution. Please visit SOJ51.net to show your support.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Just to get up that hill. Now we're up in the big league. Get my turn at bat. As long as we live, it's you and me, baby. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But we're moving on up to the east side.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I cannot wait for it to happen and watch this area bloom once again to what we used to be.
Yes.
You know, the days when NorCal was the crown jewel of the whole state.
Still, it's just a little tarnished. Got to buffer up a little bit.
Yeah, you know, you got to open it up and clear the cobwebs out and, you know, polish the bar and get the band in there and we'll be going.
It'll be going.
Well, but one of the things that we kind of wanted to touch on is the land issues and how critical they are to us. A perfect example is the argument in the with the Klamath River dams that has been going on for decades and what that's going to look like, because there is not a consideration of all parties involved. There is a consideration of one part of the parties that are involved to meet a political narrative and a political agenda. And that agenda is, quite frankly, driving us out, ladies and gentlemen. They want us gone. That is the intention of their actions. It's not ignorance. It's not incompetence. It's intentional. And people need to wake up to that reality and begin to function and operate from that reality, that our government is actively attempting to drive us out of the rural areas. And that is clear in their actions all over the western United States, but especially here, and the damage that they have caused economically, socially, and culturally. California wages an economic war against the North. And a lot of people say that, oh, well, it's the federal government this and the federal government that. Actually, if we were able to just take to harvest timber to the federally approved level, we could reopen mills and put people to work. It's the state of California and their environmental standards that shut us down. They've shut down mining illegally. You know, that's back when they stopped suction dredge mining. The Third Circuit Court of Appeals found that that was a de facto ban on mining, which is illegal under the Mining Act of, I can't remember if it's 1852 or 1858, I think 1858, the Mining Act. And the state of California, basically what they did is they shut that down. The Third Circuit Court of Appeals said you can't do that under the Mining Act. So then the state of California said, okay, well, you can't suction dredge unless you have a permit from from California. And then they refused to issue permits.
You can do it if you have a permit, but we're not going to give you a permit.
But we're not going to give you a permit.
Okay.
You know, so that goes back again to the Third Circuit Court of Appeals. Okay. The Third Circuit Court of Appeals says you can't do that either. That is still a de facto ban on mining, and you better knock it off because we know what you're doing. So the state of California says, okay, right? And the Third Circuit Court of Appeals says, okay, January 1st, you go back to suction dredge mining. Well, we're getting numerous reports of people that are gone back to suction dredge mining as ordered by the court. And guess what? They're being ticketed and having their equipment seized by the state of California.
Mm-hmm.
They no longer follow the rule of law or the color of law. And it becomes this issue of how do you trust the government when they will not follow the rule of law? What do you do when it comes to that point? You know, and I think a lot of people in Eastern Oregon were driven to answer that question. And whatever you think of the answer that was given, the point is that they were driven to that.
Right.
And what we're trying to avoid here in Jefferson through the Jefferson Movement is that answer.
Yes.
Because sooner or later, if you push people long enough, they will come to that answer. You know, we look at some of the different things that are going on. You know, $7.5 billion that was set aside in a water bond that your kids and my kids are going to be paying for water storage in the North State. What's happened?
Nothing.
Nothing. The only monies that have been delegated out of that water bond have gone to environmental justice groups that are closing the waterways.
Which is just funding what they want to do. They're funding them to close it down.
Exactly.
Yeah, through the bonds.
To do things like tear out the Klamath dams and do things like that. You know, it was floated as, oh, yeah, we'll make the site's reservoir. And here's another thing that's typical of the state of California. If you get a good look at Sites Reservoir and the location and the design of Sites Reservoir, I spoke to a hydrologist and an engineer that is very familiar with the project, and he said the state of California will suffer 50% loss of water capture simply transporting the water from the Sacramento to the site's reservoir. 50% of the water is going to evaporate or disappear along the way to the site's reservoir. Hmm. Not only that, the site's reservoir is too shallow and not a good location for a reservoir for agricultural water storage. Because of the depth of the water and the manner that it'll operate in, it'll be very prone to algae blooms and other contaminants that'll make it unusable for irrigation. Now, so what is this big pond that they want to build down there in Coosa County good for? Well, it gives a readily accessible water storage for fracking. There are geothermal vents there. There is a project that's ongoing. And this is something that we've been looking into and we'll be talking about further as we find more about it. But there are several geothermal vents along there that they want to build a series of power plants along, geothermal power plants. Now, there is a new experimental project that is looking at pumping water into geothermal fissures to create more heat and steam to make those power plants viable. That's your site's reservoir, okay? And the interesting ties to that project is it's being headed up by Berkeley Livermore Labs. And if everybody remembers a little while ago, Jerry Brown had the big flap over using state funds and state resources to have his own land, which happens to be right downstream from site's reservoir, investigated for geological deposits, geothermal, oil, things like that. His head of the Department of Energy of California resigned over that.
Yep.
Guess who's heading up the geothermal venting project for Berkeley Livermore Labs now?
Same person.
Same person. You know, this is the kind of corruption and political incest that we're facing here.
Yeah.
And we have no defense against it. We have nothing that we can do other than the state of Jefferson. You know, we have asked people all through this movement for the last 3 years, do you have a better idea?
Yes, we have, Daniel.
No one.
Not one.
Not one has come up with even remotely a bad idea.
Right.
Other than just keep doing what we're doing.
Yeah, a less better idea.
Yeah.
They haven't come up with it.
Yeah, they haven't even found a bad idea.
Yeah, one that we could even shape into almost good.
And anybody that at this point refuses to acknowledge that there is a problem here, you're a moron.
Yeah.
I mean, quite simply, there is no denying the overwhelming amount of evidence of the damage that's done and continues to be done to our constitutional rights, to our economic viability, to the sustainability of our children, to the sustaining of our cultural way of life, of a rural, resource-driven economy. It's wide open. It's plain to see. It's obvious.
Yes.
So, I did see a quick thing here in the chat room real quick. Somebody asked, they were looking about getting lifetime fishing licenses in the state of California, and when SOJ comes to be, would SOJ honor it? Yes, I think as a citizen of Jefferson, we would be more than willing to honor your lifetime fishing license. And then California can politely give back the revenue that you provided for that fishing license to the state of Jefferson.
There you go.
So, and that's a...
There are a good many things that will come out of Jefferson that Jefferson will honor and will do.
Mm-hmm.
And will keep at bay as well. There are things that we definitely know that we need to keep at bay and not allow to happen so that Jefferson will become a good, viable, strong state.
Yeah. And another quick question, Lawrence Livermore Labs. Yes, Berkeley and Lawrence Livermore Labs on certain levels have merged and become Berkeley Livermore Labs.
Hmm.
They have codependent programs with each other on several things, and these are them.
Wow.
But that's another thing that we get hit with, and it's just so irritating, is that we just want to destroy the resources and rape the land.
Right.
We live here. We love the land. We know the land better than these people could ever know. We have generational knowledge of this land. okay? I can take you through six different counties and never touch concrete in the state of Jefferson. Yeah. We live here. We know this place. I can tell you when a tree fell down because it's not, you know, it wasn't like that the last time I came through.
Right.
The ranchers love and care for the land. The fishermen love and care for their waterways and their streams. This is how we live. This is how we exist. This is where we find our recreation. This is our way of life. We are the stewards, and we know better than our government on how to preserve that, and that was proven through our maintenance of our lands prior to government interference.
Well, and the government is doing it on theory, whereas we do it on practice. You know,
exactly.
We do it daily. And yeah. We have people here that are out there daily watching things, seeing things. If they notice something out of whack, they address it.
And what's troubling is the longer as this model goes on, we're losing that knowledge.
That's right.
We're losing that ability to know the land, to learn from our elders and our predecessors of how to maintain the land.
Right.
You know, it goes all the way back to Cub Scouts. You know, and Boy Scouts, and how to go in and how to camp and how not to leave a mark. And, you know, I've done projects. When I was a kid, we used to take salmon fry from the Lewiston Fish Hatchery and go seed them in the streams. We used to go replant burned areas. These were school kids doing this as school projects. You know, we had a watershed that was all our own called the Philpott Watershed that from second grade through eighth grade that we worked on one way or another. You know, we studied hydrology. We used to learn these things in our public schools.
Yeah.
And we don't anymore. Our schools used to be the finest that there were in California. And California used to have some of the finest schools in the world. And ours were the best because they were paid for and funded through our resource revenues.
And a lot of them have been dumbed down by just using the book part of it because of the...
Absolutely.
The common general assumption of education versus the practical.
Yeah. I can tell you the sustainability of a stream for a set number of fish and the sustainability of how many trees should be per acre and how it should be thinned. And these are things that I was taught in elementary school.
There you go.
And that doesn't exist anymore. And we need to get back to that. So to say that we exist simply to destroy our land and we just want to rape the resources and turn the corporations over? Yeah. No.
No, not
we at don't
all.
Want them here.
No.
We prefer mom and pop shops.
Yep.
We are rural America.
We have skin in the game. And if you have skin in the game, you're going to do the right thing.
Absolutely.
As right as you can do it for that moment. And if you make a mistake, then you learn from it. And so that's how we do it here.
Yeah. The destruction of our resources that we're facing through mismanagement
in
water, in timber, and untouched mineral deposits and things like this. And do I want to drive along where I go hunt and fish and see some great big toxic cesspool of a pit that's called the mining company?
No.
No, and nor would I stand for it.
No.
Nor would anybody else here.
That's right.
It's a ridiculous argument. So we better get off to another break with the... that, and we're going to kind of keep going on that. Wynn has some information, you know, for the business end of Jefferson to provide when we get back, and we'll just keep on. We'll see you on the other side of this one.
When I turned 18, I couldn't wait to vote. After all, voting is a privilege for all Americans, right? Then I did the math. Did you know that the northern third of California only has 3 out of 80 seats in the Assembly and 3 out of 40 seats in the Senate? Northern California has no representation, and my vote doesn't count. Splitting from California and forming the state of Jefferson is the only remedy. Please visit soj51.net for more information. Please donate now to help restore representation.
Looking for a perfect Valentine's Day weekend? Look no further than Wind River Resort and Casino. Enjoy a delectable meal for you and your loved one that includes steak and lobster, chocolate dipped strawberry champagne, appetizers, and more. This special dinner is offered February 12th, 13th, and 14th and includes music and dancing to Linda Bott on the 13th and Mark McAbee on February the 14th, Valentine's Day. Also ask about the sweetheart package at the hotel that includes champagne, $50 food vouchers, and more surprises. Call Wind River Resort for reservations 243-3377. Wind River Resort and Casino.
O2 Staffing presents the 29th annual One Safe Place Crab Feed, Saturday, February 6th. Have an ocean of fun while helping victims of domestic violence. Tickets are available at 2280 Benton Drive or online at ospshasta.org. Presented by O2 Staffing and in part by KRCR News Channel 7, Reading Record Searchlight, Tri-Counties Bank, Florence Hungerford, Shasta Regional Medical Center, Dignity Health, and Swift Properties. For info, call 244-0118 or visit ospshasta.org.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Getting old is never easy. Imagine what it must be like for an older animal to lose their home and be left in a kennel wondering if you'll ever know love and companionship again. At Haven Humane, older animals are hard to place but have so much to offer. If you crave unconditional love, check out the older animals and remember PAL's Fund is available to supplement the cost if you lack the funds to adopt a loving companion. PAL was an amazing deaf Dalmatian that lived the life we would wish for all of our animals. Haven continues to accept donations to PAL's Fund and continue PAL's legacy.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I'm waking up to ash and dust. I wipe my brow and I sweat my rust. I'm breathing in the chemicals.
It is a new age.
It is.
You know, and I really believe that, you know, in a manner, we're never going to be able to go back to the way things were. But it is right now. It is the point of collision that what does the new age look like is being decided. And it is important that everybody engage in that fight and that decision. Otherwise, someone else is going to decide for you. And the people that is to decide for you have chosen poorly up yes. until this point.
Yes. So, that's why if you got skin in the game. If you live in this area, you've got skin in the game. You yeah. need to step up and have your opinion heard and also listen. Listen to find out what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
Listen with an open mind and open heart.
And the dynamic has changed over the last decades.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember growing up as a kid, members of the Forest Service were part of the community. They were part of the communal family. Mm-hmm. Fish and wildlife guys. You know, one of my best friends in school, his dad was a fish and game cop, and he was a good guy.
Yeah.
A lot of those people are gone now. It's people from out of the area, out of the region, college educated and only college educated. They are offensive to the communities. They take almost a militant stance against the communities. They're not objective. They're not looking to work for the communities. They're looking to dictate to the communities. You know, California just lost really probably the last legitimate fish and game cop here recently. I'm not going to name his name, but there was a fish and wildlife officer who for years has been part of fish and wildlife and has been big fighting for the rights of hunters and fishermen and understanding the other side of what fish and game used to do. And with the new round of regulations and things that are coming for fish and game, he resigned in protest.
Yeah.
And with that, you know, we lost probably the last champion of the people in fish and game.
That's wrong.
It is.
Wrong on any and every level.
It's bad in a lot of ways. But that's what happens when your fish and game officers don't come from the community, when your Forest Service people don't live there, when they come from somewhere else. And they only understand what's in a government policy book.
Right.
These are the kind of issues that we run into and the problems that we have. We used to employ our children as, you know, government workers and be proud of them for that now.
Yeah.
You know, now, you know, your son works for BLM. Do you even invite him over for Thanksgiving? It's...
Of course you do. Of course you do.
Yeah.
He's got a job in Jefferson, thank God. Hey, on a quick note, I want to make an announcement, too, that we have a change for the Jefferson meeting starting tomorrow night, Monday night, February 1st. It'll be starting at 5:30. It'll be going before the Tea Party gets started. So we're going to try that for a little bit. The meetings tend to go long, and then we end up having our meeting later, and we end up losing numerous people because of that. So we're going to try something new, and so we're going to start tomorrow night at 5:30, same location in the sanctuary. We'll just start the meeting there and get it up and running and get it going, and then it'll transition into the Tea Party meeting. So if you have any questions, you can show up and ask your questions, and if you have input, we gladly accept it.
Absolutely. So, and, you know, everybody is invited to come to those meetings.
Yes.
So come in, contribute, help out, find out what's going on.
We have youth coming to our meetings, mm-hmm. you know, high school kids, and even younger. They come to the meetings, they come with their parents, and they're learning a few things, and they get to see what's going on and understand. They hear dialogue, and it's all good. It's all good.
Well, to me, still, my favorite part of everything that we've been doing is, I've always said all along, is watching that light bulb go off
right.
in people's eyes, watching that, I get it.
Yeah,
I understand. And just seeing that sense of empowerment and that sense of understanding when they leave, they know who they are as an American citizen in a manner that they never understood before.
Right.
They understand not only the privilege of being an American citizen, but the responsibility and the duty.
That's right. That's right.
And I think for too long, this country has been content to accept and use the privileges of citizenship, but not the duty and responsibility of it.
Yeah, I have things about privilege. Well, with privilege comes responsibility.
Absolutely. And we have great privilege that is shrinking every day. You know, and perhaps privilege is the wrong word, because we are talking about fundamental, inalienable, unassailable rights.
True. Yeah.
You know, but through our own fault and our own lethargic nature lately, we have allowed those rights to become privileges.
Yeah.
And that's not okay.
And they're on the way to being more diminished if we're not careful.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have to change that narrative. We have to change that understanding. And the state of Jefferson has done that in a seismic fashion.
We have.
Yep. The North is never going back to sleep, ladies and gentlemen.
No, it will not.
We are going to continue to grow and wake up.
And the other thing, too, is if folks want to make donations, which are not tax deductible, to State of Jefferson Formation. Those donations are going to be used for the legal fees that we have to incur in order to make this happen. And you can send any amount, check, cash, money order, accept it all. And if you want to mail it, you can mail it to State of Jefferson Formation, P.O. Box 1364, Shingle Springs, 95682. And Shingle Springs is down in El Dorado County, and that's where our treasurer lives. So that's why it's going down to Shingle Springs.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to come to our meetings, you can always come to our meetings, and you can bring the checks to us. And I personally, for our area, I can make the deposits. So if you want to do that, I'm happy to do that. I do that on a regular basis, and we're happy to accept any and all donations.
Absolutely. And that's what it's going to take, too, is also the will of the people financially to make this happen.
Yep.
You know, this doesn't occur by itself. And there are people of different levels of capability and talents all throughout this movement, and everybody has their place in making this happen. But step up to the plate and own your part of what you have to do, whether it's donating, whether it's gathering signatures, whether it's spreading the message, whether it's making 3 phone calls a day to Sacramento to allow them to know and to hear repeatedly the demands and the grievances of the people. Cry out and let them know.
And also on top of that, when Red said about the phone calls, we're also emailing and mailing letters to our representatives to make sure that they understand that, to Daly, to Gallagher, to Nielsen, to Gaines. Sorry. Who?
<Yeah.
laughs> I did it again.
It's easy to lose Gaines in there.
All of them. And if you need to get their information, just go to the SOJ51.net website and click on the 51sters. It'll take you to the second page, and it'll give you the contact information. So go there and make the phone calls. And while you're making the phone calls, you can also be entered into a drawing for a gun. So that's what we're going to be doing. We'll be drawing for a gun each month. And so starting tomorrow at some point, from tomorrow on, I should say, the drawing will be held for the gun for January. So we'll have a drawing for those that were participating in all the calls for January. And then we'll do the same thing in March for the folks that participated in February.
Mm-hmm.
So watch out for it. It'll be coming, and we'll have some photos, I'm sure, of the winner. So.
Okay. And with the business out of the way, we've got Nick and Redding online. Did we lose Nick?
We have evidently lost him.
Nick, I apologize for keeping you on hold for so long. We had to get some business out of the way. If you want, go ahead, call back in, and we'll grab your calls just as soon as it gets here. Again, our apologies. You know, and it's time to take a step back in who we are and start looking out again. Look to your neighbors. Look to your community. And what can you do for your community?
Yeah.
What things can you help do? You know, one of the discussions that I was having is there's this big disconnect in the middle of our country generationally. Is we have the older generation that remembers America as it was and how America used to function and how to do those things. And then we have a younger generation of Americans that are coming online that are cynical, desperate, hungry for what was promised to them, what we were raised on.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have the middle, I think, somewhere.
Somewhere in there.
Somewhere in there. Where are they?
Yeah.
And, you know, we're losing the knowledge, you know, the know-how. And of what it should look like, but not only what it should look like, what it takes to make it that way.
Right.
And to keep it that way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something very important, where we connect the older generations and the youth together so that we can make sure that knowledge and that understanding lives on. Do we have Nick back?
No, that was another caller with a question. He was curious why the donations to State of Jefferson are not tax deductible.
That's because we are a 501c4. If we were a 501c3, we would have to report your name to the feds and stand to be audited by the feds. So we elected to go to a 501c4, so anyone can donate any amount and know that their name is not going to be on some list somewhere.
absolutely. And there was a lot of discussion over the way to handle that. Do we make the donations tax deductible?
Right.
Or do we make the donations to where people don't have to turn over their information to the government? And through a lot of discussion with people that wanted to donate, they didn't want their name on there for fear of repercussion from their own government.
Absolutely.
I mean, how sad is that?
Yep. Yeah,
I let that really sink in.
Yeah,
that you can't get a tax deductible donation because people are frightened to donate to the State of Jefferson movement because they're afraid of their own government.
Right, they don't want to be on a list.
Let that really sink in and permeate.
Yeah,
because that's where we're at. It's already gone too far.
Yeah,
you know the the line for an awful lot of us has already been crossed.
Many times.
daily. You know, and a lot of times, every time they pass a new law or a new resolution or, you know, Jerry Brown, again, is looking at upping taxes.
Yeah.
Okay. In one hand, he claims he has a budget surplus, but he needs to increase taxes.
He doesn't have a budget surplus.
He doesn't have anything close to a budget surplus, and he knows it. It's all smoke and mirrors on you know the dynamics of how California does their money. They lie through their teeth. You know, Enron could take lessons from the state of California on how to cook books. It's insane.
They don't use basic accounting like you know debit, credit, what goes in, what goes out. If you're in the red or you're in the black,
the entire budget and expenses and everything aren't even in one location.
Yeah.
You've got to go agency to agency to find the dispensations. And then they do things like they take lottery money that is supposed to go to the schools and they put it in the education fund. And then they say, oh, well, you know, we're going to have to short the kids this year. And then they take the lottery money back out and it goes somewhere else.
Yep.
And then that gets distributed. But on California's books, all of that money went from the lottery to the schools, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it didn't.
Nope.
No. You know, that's when talking to some of these counties that have accountants that are willing to speak out that say, yeah, you know, on our property taxes, we see back like 18 cents on the dollar.
Yeah.
You know, we've actually hit the point in California where we're almost paying more in taxes per gallon than we are for the cost of the gallon of gas.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
It is.
You know, and how good are our roads up here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, drive around town, you start looking at all these potholes, especially with the rains and whatnot.
Yeah.
And you're driving on it, and you hit one, you don't even see it because the standing water, and you don't see the puddles. And I've seen people do that, where they just drive through, and these little cars just hit them, and it hurts them the worst. You know, they drive through those things and just dings them up. You know it's tearing the car apart.
Yeah, there goes your strut.
Yes.
There goes your shocks.
Scares the heck out of the driver, I'm sure.
Yeah, I haven't heard it for a long time, but I remember early on, you know, people going, well, who'll take care of the roads? Who's taking care of them now?
Yeah, we will.
A little bit better, I think.
And better, I think. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. We'll have the money to do it.
So, oh, that's not a nice person up there, Bob. Hey, Bob's in here in the studio looking at YouTube at Jerry Brown. So, oh, God. What a
one of his many incarnations.
Yeah. But what a corrupt individual Jerry Brown is. If you have time to look into Jerry Brown through his long history and his family history in California, what a corrupt individual and a corrupt family.
Sad.
You know, and some of the things that we're working on, I can tell you right now, Jerry Brown is tied directly to some of the actions that are going on up there in Oregon.
You
know, there was a great article put out by a lady named Katie Grimes, and the emails back and forth between the financial and political ties between Jerry Brown and then Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber,
mm-hmm.
who was forced to resign because he was running a pay-to-play scheme on green jobs. He would ensure that green policies were passed that created green jobs and then made sure that certain companies that were making payments to his girlfriend were the ones getting the contracts for the green jobs. And
wow.
Jerry Brown was up to his neck in it. And it's a lot of what's going on down here in Jefferson. And they're finishing the phases of pushing us out of the land. Now we're going to begin to see the reasons that they're pushing us out of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people that are coming to destroy our resources and bring the big corporations in and rape our land is the government.
Yep.
they are the ones. They're not locking this up to preserve, you know, for the granola eaters. That's not what they're doing.
Nope.
They're reserving those lands for their own political interests and their own political campaign contributors so that they are the ones that come in and use the land, and they don't live here, and they don't care about this land, and they will destroy it.
Yes, they will.
We'll see you next week, Jefferson.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Presidential candidates crisscrossing Iowa in the hours before tomorrow's caucuses, first in the nation. Ted Cruz says he's been a consistent conservative. That's why his poll numbers are rising.
I think the stakes are too high to get this wrong. You know, the most common sentiment you hear from people is they're frustrated with Washington. They're frustrated with politicians. They say one thing and do another. We can't get burned again.
He talks to NBC TV. More U.S. airlines and cruise operators are letting pregnant women change itineraries without penalty if they book a trip to places dealing with the Zika virus.
Airlines, including American, Delta, JetBlue, and United, are offering some form of travel refund without penalty, and cruise operators like Carnival and Royal Caribbean are letting pregnant women reschedule their trips. Experts say most people exposed to the virus suffer only mild symptoms, but the risk is far greater for pregnant women. Brazilian officials have linked the mosquito-borne illness.